I had a few things that I always like tried to do. One was always try and like take photo of him when he wasn't looking, just to have it in my like phone drive, just in case, because someone could access that if they needed to get to that, right? And I would just like send it to a friend really quickly. I'd send their phone number typically. And then like, even when I was going out to the bars, I'd say like to a best friend at home, like, hey, I'm going here tonight, just so you know, I'll be out late. Like, shoot me a text in the morning to make sure that I'm home and alive. And just those simple little things can make sure, because you could go literally missing for days, to be honest, and someone wouldn't know where to track you. I also like to say, like, make eye contact and like a little bit of friends with your hotel agents, with your hostel desk people, just so they recognize your face and know who you are, to where if you did go missing and like you were still checked in, or girls in your room even, just so people would know who you are and be able to recognize you and be like, oh, she was a normal person. She was here every night and now she's not.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
I am so excited to have you here with me today, Jasmine, to talk about travel and sex and periods. You are an avid traveler, just like myself. That's one of the ways that we met. Mm-hmm. We met through a mutual friend, Rachel Main. You guys know I love my Rachel Main.
The best, absolute best.
Yes. And she introduced me to you because you live in San Diego and you like to travel. So I would love for you to just kind of start out and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do, your travel stuff, and then we'll jump right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Jasmine. I am based in San Diego, but I own a company called Femaven Getaways. So we're a modern travel agency, essentially. And so we provide hosted getaways for women. I do solo travel coaching as well, and then curated itineraries. But I say that kale and yoga doesn't belong on every vacation. Sometimes you just need to have a shit ton of fun. And it's, you know, travel is just as healthy for you as some of these other self-improvement things. It's good for your heart. Friendships are good for your heart, and they really provide longevity in your life.
And solo travel is so important for self-development as well.
Absolutely. Confidence. There's just so much.
Yes. Which I think we should tap into that since we're on that topic. Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of travel. I've done some solo travel in my life, but what are some of the things that women can gain from doing solo travel?
Yeah. So like I said, confidence is like, I think the number one, like overarching out of everything from my own personal experiences and from people who I've coached through it, coming into it just a little bit shy and a little bit reserved and then coming out of it with confidence. And that confidence takes you into the boardrooms. It takes you into your business, it takes you into your relationships, right? Also, the ability to make friends and make connections and build a network. I moved every important school year, what I say. So like elementary to middle to high school. And so I had to, find new friends every time. And I think it's a skill I took into my travel life. And now I just can go anywhere and I'm not too shy. Like I can meet new friends. I want to build community. And that is something that I've gotten from solo travel for sure.
And I think that we don't talk about how important that is. And I think that's why both of us, I would say, are master connectors in that we both know a lot of people. Yeah. But I've been asked this many times before, how do you make friends as an adult? And it's crazy. When I went to Bali, we picked up a friend. Her name is Jackie. And we just like adopted her into our group. Yeah. And she stayed with us for 5 days.
Yeah.
Like the majority of the trip, she hung out with us and she was a solo traveler. And it is very easy to meet people. There are tons of groups for solo travel too, if there's a particular destination that you're looking at. Yeah. But yeah, I think that everybody should try to do a solo trip. It doesn't have to be international.
It doesn't have to be big. That is one of my biggest ones. Is I always say, start small, start with going to movies by yourself, start with going to dinner by yourself. See how that feels. And then go to the town next door and have a staycation. Just do one night, you know, one night and in the town next door, see how that feels. And then keep going a little bit further. Cause it could seem overwhelming. I mean, I threw myself on an airplane and went far away from home the first time, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, the one thing that kind of comes across for me is my therapist recently told me she recommended like a silent retreat.
Oh.
And like, just go maybe go to Joshua Tree for the weekend, no phone, no internet, no work, and literally just be. And I think that we don't talk about that enough either, as travel being a great way to just kind of not escape, but go inward and spend time with ourselves, which is scary.
It is scary
for a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of my travel is like big city stuff. And so I always say I'm alone, but not alone, because the minute I get there, I meet friends, and I'm in a hostel. And next thing you know, I've got friends for the week that I'm there. But I recently went to a cabin in Julian by myself to do some work and then just be with myself for 3 nights. And that is something I've never done before. And I'm also got a weird fear of being in a cabin in the woods by myself. And like, I was like, very much had to tick this big box. And it was a lot of like self-reflection. It was a lot of work, journaling, and going from like, what am I doing, to being like so happy in every moment. And I'm really thankful. And I want to continue that practice of like going solo to countries and cities and going solo to like just be alone, because it was a different feeling.
Yeah. Let's talk about travel sex, because you brought up something when we were preparing for this podcast that I had never even considered. You had brought up safety and safety in the terms of every country has their own laws and regulations.
Yeah.
I would love for you to tell us about how do you have sex safely while traveling?
So I'll start with a personal story and how this really brought it to the front of my head. I was very single in all my living abroad and a lot of my travel, and I like casual sex and meeting different people. And who doesn't want like a foreign man in your life? There's like a romantic story about it, right? But it was this one experience when I was in New Zealand, and you know, we thankfully have access to birth control, plan B, and all of that in the United States, right? And I did living abroad in Australia as well. But I got to New Zealand, I had a really reckless night, was a little too drunk, and I couldn't fully remember how it all went down. And I went to go get a plan B and got told no. And I just shocked, and I wasn't supposed to go home for 5 more days. And there was like, I was in a place that I was like, oh, well, of course they would have it. Why wouldn't they have it? Like, Australia, New Zealand, America, like, sure, they all run. I just didn't even think about it. And so to go to a pharmacy and got told no, and thankfully it wasn't, and it's just not over the counter. It was a Sunday. I had to find a pharmacist who was trained as a doctor to take me in the back to ask me the most mortifying questions that made me feel so ashamed for what I had done before they would give it to me. And then they had different regulations of how much I had to take because of the weight I was. So I had to take like a double dose of it, which I had never done. And I was like, are you sure this looks exactly like what I, and so, yeah, it's just, it was the scariest moment. And since then I have started looking into like different regulations for that, but also just the access to birth control if you're moving abroad. But then there's like the safety of traveling with toys. That's a whole nother thing. Like, you know, I put it in my bag, not even thinking about it sometimes. But when I went to Vietnam, there's a quick like, oh, I don't actually know if this is allowed here. Like, am I going to get in trouble going to this country with this kind of stuff in my bag? And so it started really coming to thought with those kinds of things. But then there was, you know, obviously being in hostels and hooking up with a guy. I've heard stories of guys stalking women, like, showing up in their beds because they become obsessed with them. And then, you know, there's obviously the even worse stories in the news as well.
Yeah. Something that I heard about recently was in Bali, they don't allow non-marital sex. Yeah. And if you are caught having sex outside of wedlock, like, you can go to jail.
Yeah. So there's an influencer that I follow, and she had that issue to where she kind of dresses a little bit more provocative. Her and her boyfriend film a lot of travel content where they're like making out, and they're like typically in bathing suits and half naked. And she's had police come up to her and be like, let me see your phone. You have to delete that. You can't do that. Made her put a bra on. One of these situations was in Bali, and the other one was in, I want to say it was Egypt. And just seeing those kinds of situations that I like, you sometimes just don't even think about, because the blogs don't show you that, the traditional travel content doesn't show you that. And you get so used to the life you live and how you are at home. And you do have to kind of change that way you're going.
Those are some things I never, ever even considered.
Yeah.
Never would have considered that. I know when I went to Bali, I brought my toy, and I was in my head like, well, if it gets thrown out, it gets thrown out. I mean, hopefully I don't go to jail over a sex toy, but.
Yeah, exactly. And like getting thrown out is one thing. And, you know, I've had security pull it out of the bag and had the like look of shame, like, oh, come on, sir. You know what this is. Like, don't do this to me. But it's the more illegal part of it that like is just a whole nother level of having to deal with going to jail in third world countries that can be a really scary place and put you in even scarier situations.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that would be horrifying. There has definitely been many times with TSA where I had my toys taken out. When I used to do parties, I used to travel with them, and I had probably over a couple thousand dollars worth of toys in my suitcase. And they were like, ma'am, what is this? And I'm like, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, don't worry about
We're all here for a good time.
Do you want something?
Not a long time. Yes. I remembered what I was going to say a long, long time ago. All of a sudden, it just came back to me. You were talking about when you were doing solo travel. I don't remember exactly what you said, but I had something that I recently wrote about travel for me is that I am nowhere, but I am everywhere. And that like, I don't really have a home.
Yeah.
But everywhere is my home.
Yeah.
And I'm learning for me to travel with a piece of home everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So whether that is candles
what's your piece of home?
Yeah. I have some travel candles.
Okay.
Usually like a card deck. I'm still like trying to figure out exactly what that's going to be, but usually like a couple crystals and some sage.
Yeah.
But you do have to be careful like traveling with sage and Palo Santo and that those are plants.
Yep.
Or something like that. And they can get taken away from you internationally too.
Yeah, they definitely can. I love that you travel with a piece of home. I have a piece of home that I travel with as well. And it's a book that my friends made me like one of those picture books when I moved to Australia. And it's gone to like almost every country. When I lived in Australia, it kept me alive. It kept me sane to just remember like these people are my home and my network. And no matter where I'm at, we still have our friendships, but I'm just living a different life.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So going more into safety and travel and sex, is there anything else you would warn the listeners about when it comes to that?
Yeah. So I'll go like random hookups and stuff like that. So especially if you're traveling solo, right? You have no one to know if you're coming home at night. You have no one to tell really where you're going, right? Like sure, you're messaging with a friend at home sometimes. You're probably not telling your mom about these situations unless you're really close, which is also fun. But maybe just not even that moment. Like you might tell her the next day. So it's like, how do you tell people like, hey, I'm going out tonight? Or even in the moment, maybe you're out at the bars with like a group of people you met and then you've met a guy. How are you telling? And then you decide to go home or they come to the after party. Like what's that messaging look like? And so I had a few things that I always like tried to do. One was always try and like take photo of him when he wasn't looking. It's such a random thing that I did just to have it in my like phone drive, just in case, because someone could access that if they needed to get to that. Right. And I would just like send it to a friend really quickly. I'd send their phone number typically. And then like, even when I was going out to the bars and say like to a best friend at home, like, hey, I'm going here tonight, just so you know, I'll be out late. Like shoot me a text in the morning to make sure that I'm home and alive. And just those simple little things can make sure, because you could go literally missing for days, to be honest, and someone wouldn't know where to track you. I also like to say, like, make eye contact and like a little bit of friends with your hotel agents, with your hostel desk people, just so they recognize your face and know who you are, to where if you did go missing and like you were still checked in, or girls in your room even, just so people would know who you are and be able to recognize you and be like, oh, she was a normal person. She was here every night and now she's not. That's why I always say like, make a friend in your room. And it's just like kind of like an unwritten buddy system, I would say. It's harder at a hotel or an Airbnb, but just, yeah, even the local coffee shop, if there's a coffee shop right downstairs, just someone that could pick you out if they needed to in a situation like that. There are also now AirTags, which is like a game changer. So like if you're flying it with it in your luggage to track your luggage, throw it in your purse, throw it on you when you go out that night. It is like, it's such a simple thing. And I know in some situations sounds nutso, but like, why not?
That sounds brilliant. Yeah. Other than the person you're going on a date with, they're going to say like, an AirTag is following me. And you'd be like, sorry, my friend got tats on me.
And then like if you're even in a group girl setting, you know, have your friends at least like see who the guy is that you might be going off with and what you might do, or like, and tell you where you're going. I have this friend. She is so relentless on girls trips. She's always like, let me see your ID. And she'll ask for an ID and she'll take a photo and be like, you get her back here. You get her back here. And you know, every guy was like, yeah, of course, here, because they're normal. And they're like, we get it.
Yeah.
You ever had someone who was weird about it? That is your first sign to like say, no, thank you, and have a good night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are some really good tips, and they're really great tips for when traveling abroad. And that's like really just good tips for dating in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my location services on for a couple of girlfriends and somebody in the FBI who will find me at all costs, or retired FBI or whatever.
That's a great connection to them.
I'm like, you can have my location at any point because if something happens, I know damn well you're going to go after me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love those tips because dating is hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
It's challenging and well, lots of aspects is challenging, but from a safety standpoint, you do have to worry about that.
Yeah, you do. And I am a big proponent of having that random hookup and going and living those memories because they're part of my story, right? But just doing it the correct way. I say I Tindered my way around Australia. Like that's really how I toured the country when I first got there. I went on Tinder, I'd go on dates and they'd be like, show me somewhere cool. And they'd take me somewhere like a cool spot, non-touristy. And, you know, we'd always meet for like a coffee before. I'd be like, okay, are you feeling safe? And there's this one guy, I mean, he took me on 10 dates and it was really not going anywhere ever, but we went hiking together. He took me to parts of like Sydney that I had never been to. He like showed me all the best views. And it was really like the best tour guide ever. And I got a companion out of it.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like this is a perfect time to share a little bit of a story.
Yes.
I went to the DR and this was my first trip out of PA school. So this was a long time ago, but I was celebrating my graduation and like leaving a toxic relationship and met this guy. He happened to work at the hotel. So super like against their laws to fraternize with the guests, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, well,
it is what it is.
It happens.
Yeah.
I've worked in hotels. It happens more often than not.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And so he ended up like, it's a really crazy long story. I'm writing about it in my book. It's probably the juiciest story ever.
I love that.
But he convinced us to use my girlfriend's passport to rent a car. We rented a car under her passport. Don't do this. Yeah, do not do this.
Nope.
And him and his buddy took us on a tour of the DR and they wanted to take us to a chapel or like a cathedral of some type. I'm really bad at what my buildings are, but the most beautiful one he wanted to take us to. So we went on like this 2-hour drive and I'm in the back seat with my girlfriend. They're driving the car.
Oh.
And I also but I said to her, I was like, this is how it ends.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, so jokingly,
but like also, what have I done?
And so anyway, we go see this beautiful place. And on the way back, they stop at this beach that was the most beautiful beach we would have never made it to. And we got like this, I don't know, like a private tour.
Yeah.
Because they're the locals showing you what is best. And we took a tour of the jungle with them and it was just so amazing. And then we got to have like a beautiful meal. I mean, these poor guys probably spent their entire month's income on the two of us that week. And it was a great time. It was a memory that will last forever.
Yeah. It truly does. I mean, some of my best travel stories are from guys that I have met. New Zealand, I'll go back to that story, I guess, and how I got to that situation. I was moving home from Australia and I decided to stay a week in Queenstown by myself as like my cry my life out moment, break up. I'm moving home. Like, I was in Australia for 3.5 years and it was just kind of a closing moment. So I went to Queenstown by myself and was like, all right, I'm going to do 5 days. So I had met one guy 2 days earlier, hit it off, but that was just like a one night thing. He was there for work. He was a local, but was like renovating this like $1 million house. And apparently they were staying there. I'm still not sure if we were supposed to be staying there or not. He took me home to this house. He had a friend too, who also had another girl. So we were like, we were the four, and I had never met her either. And I like wake up in this like, and we come home pretty late, and I like, lights were off. I didn't know. We had like drinks, but I wake up on this like amazing lake view in this like $1 million mansion. And I'm like, where am I? And I'm like, is this your house? And he's like, no, I'm just working on it. I was like, are we supposed to be here? He said, yes.
Oh my goodness.
He said they were out of town and they were like hired to do work and allowed to stay there. It looked like they were pretty like lived into it. So like, I'm guessing yes, but who knows? 2 days later, I was on a boat and some guy started talking to me. He was from San Francisco and we had like a 3-day whirlwind romance. It was like, we were married. It was like, we had known each other forever. We ended up dancing all night. He booked every tour I ended up going on. We went wine tasting. Everyone's like, how long have you guys been together? We're like, we met yesterday, but we were both in hostels and separate hostels. So it's like, where do you make this connection happen? He had rented a car because he was going to go camping in like an SUV. So we literally drove his SUV to a trailhead. It was pouring rain. We had like the most amazing night in his SUV, like pouring rain, steamed up. We went and got cheeseburgers after. We cuddled in the car and we went home. And I should have never saw him again because it was meant to be that. We tried actually dating and doing the whole thing. I went to San Francisco. Tip, most of the time, you're not meant to see them again. It is most of the time, something about that place and that moment that makes them and you that person. And we brought it home and we tried it again. No.
I think I should listen to that tip because almost all of my dating is long distance. Yeah. And it's somebody that I met while traveling, 99.9% of it. So yeah, maybe I should take that.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah. So I would love to talk a little bit more about managing periods while traveling, because I am the girl, we joke about this in my friend group, like I am the girl who literally bleeds every single trip that we have. And I celebrate my period, but oh my God, for the love of me, please, like, please don't be cycle day one on an 18-hour flight to Bali.
Exactly.
Or cycle day one on a 12-hour flight to Italy.
Yeah.
Because literally both of my last long trips, it's full flow while in an airplane.
No.
Do you know how uncomfortable? I'm sure you do. But like, this is so uncomfortable to be bleeding and like, how do you manage it? And you're like stuck in your seat and you can't shower.
You're like, how often can I get up and not bother these people? Like, I just want to stretch out and like do some movement to like help with the cramps. Oh, it's miserable.
So tell me, what are like your tips for bleeding? And I would love to also dive into like bleeding and travel and the aspect of you can't go to some places when you are bleeding. So we'll get into that, but I had to say that before I forgot.
I have really, unfortunately, heavy periods and I have fibroids. So it's just like a whole bloody mess. And so it is a bit of a nightmare for me. And I do have to really try and plan around it, especially because I host these trips with these women, right? The last thing I need is to be falling apart during this like part of my life. So I really have to schedule them. But my biggest thing is know where you're going and know what kind of products they have. And most of the time, we're really like one of the only countries that have applicators on our tampons. And so if you use tampons, pack a crap ton. I mean, like pack a crap ton because they don't have them in Europe. And it's a whole nother process, which it's fine learning your body, being a part of it, but it's just not your normal. So it's not something you want to layer on top of like already feeling like crap. So that's one number thing. They make heating pad, like sticky things, you know, it used to be like for back muscles. Now they like Midol actually makes them. So I always buy a few packs of those so I can have heating pads when I'm on an airplane. I carry some like natural herbs. Once again, I have to be careful where I'm going with them because it's like a balm that helps like relax. If I'm in the United States, I take my like CBD THC balm and I just play dumb. But out of the country, I definitely wouldn't take them with me. But like those are really helpful things. But or a cup. Unfortunately, mine's too heavy. I can't do a cup. But when it was lighter, a cup was the saving grace of like things. You didn't have to carry all the products with you. You could just easily like dump it and just like it felt like a better process to me. Mm-hmm. And so those are like some of the things that I take. And then prescriptions is a big thing. I am prescribed a certain medication to deal with my pain level. And so I have to carry that with me, but I have to take it with me in a certain way. And I have to make sure I have enough of it for depending on how long I'm gone. And moving abroad, that was a whole nother level. I had to make sure that I had prescriptions and enough before I could find a doctor there, because like the last thing I needed was to be stranded without it.
Yeah. For me, I love the discs because you can keep them in like 12-ish hours.
Yeah.
You know, although I would not recommend keeping them in longer, but I've I've done it. And that just really helps because you're a little bit less worried about like, is my tampon full? Is my pad full? Do I have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes? It really like cut down the stress for me when I'm in a position where maybe I don't have access to a bathroom.
Yeah.
So like I love to go to beach locations. And so that's another issue that you run into is like, how do you enjoy the beach when you've, as my mom always called them, when you got a cotton pony? And like, I don't know if you guys have ever.
I've never heard of that. That's so cute. Well,
I don't know if you've ever like noticed after like you get in the bathtub or you get in a body of water with a tampon in, it swells.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to do, but it's like sucking up the entire ocean.
Yeah.
That does not feel good.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I wish I could use them. I tried. Unfortunately, where my fibroids sit, they activate it. And so they actually sit against it and irritate me more. And so I've been told not to use them. And it's the worst because it was so much easier. I agree. Like dumping it even, because it's kind of like peeing. You can kind of just squat in and get it. And then with some baby wipes, clean it out rather than doing the full like transfer process of trying to like get rid of tampons. But I agree. I highly recommend it if you can do it and your body allows. And like, please don't be nervous about them. They're so easy. So, so easy to do. And I think the misconception a lot of people are confused is that when you do have to empty it, that your hands have to be involved in that process. And it, that, like your body, you can kind of just like Kegel and like dump it. It's not like a, because that's why a lot of people are like, but isn't it messy? What are you going to do in the bathroom? How are you going to rinse it? Especially like reusable ones. I'm like, no, no, you only do that like at home, at night, in the morning. It's really just like a dumping process, like squeezing everything.
Yes. I love that you brought that up. And I actually just talked to somebody on the gram recently about this, but you can just throw a Kegel on it, like Cardi B says, and it'll release it so that some of that period fluid comes out.
Yeah.
Menstrual cycle, menses. There we go.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really helpful, but I do the same thing. I just wash it like in the morning and the evening. I actually have three of them now just because I feel like I need to boil them a little bit more than once a period.
Yeah.
I'm starting to have a little bit more like BV activated by them, I think.
Yeah.
Which is something
a whole nother.
Yeah, we thing. Can we can dive into that another time. But I have noticed that. So I love, love, love the discs for that. The other thing I love is period panties.
Yeah, I'm an avid sleeper in those. I can't. Yeah, I can't do daytime in it. Unfortunately, I wish. Although I will, like, I will wear it with a tampon as like an extra layer for me when like it's really bad for me. But like sleeping in it, it just feels a little bit fresher. You don't feel like when it's hot. Like in Italy right now, you were just there. It's hot and you're sweating and you're walking like 25,000 miles a day. A pad will literally chafe and cut you to the point of like, you're now going to have to go see a doctor for that. So like, even if that's like your added protection, it's so much better than a traditional pad.
Yeah. I use them as like a added protection and more so for like my mind.
Yeah.
Just so that I'm not constantly worried about, am I bleeding out? Because I'm not. The other thing you brought up was baby wipes.
And I was just about to go to that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that that is so important to carry those, especially if you're like stuck on a plane, because if you can't refresh, I like to shower a little bit more when I'm bleeding. Yeah. Like that's just generally maybe twice a day rather than once a day.
Yeah. Same.
And so when you're stuck on a plane for 12 some hours, sometimes it's nice to just freshen up a little.
Yeah.
And baby wipes are great for that.
They are. They're good for that. And also in some of these countries that don't have traditionally, you know, what's really great? It's a bidet.
Oh,
you go to the, like the countries that have bidets, you've never felt fresher on your period. It is like my most favorite thing. I have one at home because of that. Yeah. I love my tushy. It is. That. Oh yeah, exactly. It does the same thing for the front as it would the back. And so it just kind of rinses you. And so then, yeah, you feel fresher. Yeah. It's a great thing. So if you don't have one, but if you're in a country that like uses them, has them really convenient to you, don't be afraid to use it. It'll definitely make you feel a little bit fresher.
I should have done that when I was in Italy this last time. I didn't even think about
it. Don't be afraid of them. They're good for you.
Yeah. I'm always like, I'm definitely one of those. Like I need somebody to teach me how to use it first.
Someone needs to show you how to do it. Yeah. I'm obsessed with them. And yeah, it's definitely a great thing to feel fresher.
I love that. Is there anything else you would like to add about travel safety, tips, sex, laws?
I think the biggest thing is like to have fun. And when I'm coaching women and, you know, they're so nervous because the media, right, has told them so much about what not to do and how unsafe it is. And yes, there is unsafe things going on. And yes, there is unsafe things going on in our own streets of San Diego. Mm-hmm. But when you are in these countries, like, let yourself enjoy the moments and talk to the guys that are trying to talk to you, because it becomes part of your story. It becomes mm-hmm. part of your experience there. And if you stay hidden because you're like, oh, they're going to find out I'm alone. Like, a really great way about that is to lie about being alone in the beginning. I do it all the time until I like trust someone. Sometimes with a guy, I'll be like, oh, my friend's like at the hostel. She didn't want to come out today. So I'm just adventuring, but I'm going to go home to her. And then like later, once you get to know him, be like, I was just lying to you to like protect myself. Sorry.
Yeah.
Say my cab drivers. I don't really ever tell cab drivers that I'm actually traveling solo. I always say I'm with somebody. And those are just like layers to where they just protect you a little bit. So the cab driver doesn't try and take advantage of the fact that you are alone. And like, it's okay to go out and get drunk and have a fun night, but not too drunk to where you can't get yourself home. Like, you always got to be aware. And I'm more of an avid like daytime drinker when I'm alone, because just being in the streets alone drunk doesn't feel super safe to me unless I'm with like a tour or a group or something. But like, mm-hmm. if I'm truly just out going to dinner and having a few glasses of wine or something, I typically try and bring it home pretty early if I'm truly by myself.
I love that suggestion. And I actually did that recently in Italy. They were like, oh, is your family here? And I'm like, yeah, they're flying in. They're going to be here in just a little bit. Because I think that is important. You don't really want people to necessarily know that you're alone.
No.
Especially if they're taking you to your home of where you're staying.
Especially Airbnb, like mm-hmm. Airbnb specifically, because there's no one there to catch you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I was going to mention, don't black out in Bali. Trust me. 10 out of 10, don't recommend. Thank God I was with a group of friends, but I literally chose sober life after that.
Oh no.
Mostly sober.
Yeah. My Bali experience was with a boyfriend, so it was a very different experience. I would love to go back. I do have another boyfriend now, so it'd be different, but that boyfriend wasn't the right boyfriend for me. I would love to go back either alone with friends or even this boyfriend, because he's a little bit more adventurous and fun than the last one.
Ooh, I love that. Do you have an adventurous level that you need when dating somebody?
I do, actually. I am a very sexual person. And I'm also just an adventurous person, but they don't need to come to me. So traveled and adventurous, right? So that used to be something I used to think in dating is like, I look at a profile and they hadn't traveled much or, you know, those kinds of things. And my current boyfriend had only been to Mexico. He'd never been out of the country, but it was just the way opportunities in his life presented itself. It was never because he didn't want to. He was married for a really long time. She liked all-inclusive resorts. Different kind of travel style. They were together for 18 years. So I didn't hold it against him. It's more like, are you curious about this? And he said, yes, I just haven't had the opportunity to. So when I said like, let's go to Europe, he was like, yeah, let's go to Europe. And so I got to take him for it. So like, don't like disregard the people who maybe haven't done it yet or aren't at your level yet, because they might want to get to your level. They might want to be there. And on the adventurous part of sexuality, like, I mean, yes, I feel like for me, I need someone who's not super vanilla. My current boyfriend's way farther ahead than me. And so he takes me on the journey with him. But yeah, I feel like I need that in somebody.
The reason why I brought that up is I went on a first date recently. Mm-hmm. And one of the first questions I asked was like, how adventurous are you? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how adventurous are you? Because if you're a 1, I'm sorry, I jump out of airplanes.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly going to maybe not jump out of airplanes because I really don't need to do that. Yeah. Like, I like my life.
Like you check the box and like a few times. Yeah. I mean, same.
But for me, I think that is important. Somebody who travels or is curious, mm-hmm. at minimum is curious about travel, and somebody who's adventurous. So
yeah, no, mm-hmm. the curiosity was my biggest thing. And then once we did it, he had so much fun. And what I found out is like his ex-wife was just planning the wrong kind of travel for him. He didn't like beaches. He doesn't like to sit out in the sun. He likes cities and art and culture mm-hmm. and people watching and wine and like great food. So it's like that was his happy place. And he was like, this is way different than anything I've ever done before. And I was like, oh, well, you just didn't get it done right.
Yes. Well, this has been so amazing to chat with you.
Yeah,
and I appreciate
so
you sitting down with me in person here in San Diego to talk all about this topic that is so important. And I think if the listeners take one thing away, I would love for them to take away that they should travel.
They really should. However you have to do it. Right. Alone, with friends, with a partner, but truly alone. Just try it. Just do me a favor and try it.
Yeah.
And if you need someone to be your cheerleader, that's what I do.
Yes.
I'll give you all the skills, like this travel toolbox to essentially get out there and do it. I have like a whole program that kind of gets women to that stage to be able to get the confidence to be out there.
I love that. That actually reminds me, just to throw a little shameless promo here. When I'm traveling internationally, one of the things or one of the thoughts that I have is bringing women on the travel with me and doing like weekend retreats, like individual weekend retreats and things like that, because then you at least know somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the same idea of what you do too.
Yeah.
Which just provides a next level of comfort.
It does. It definitely does. So I do the host experiences. So I have a group going in August to the Valle de Guadalupe. We're going wine tasting. That's just for a day trip. But then I'm taking a group of women to Mexico City. And I really love going to these places that break that barrier of what's scary, because it's so far from scary. It is such a funky, cool city. And so, yeah, I'll be taking a group of women to Mexico City to go explore, to eat, dive into culture, dance, just like really explore the city and hopefully develop new friendship out of it.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Oh, yeah. Where can the listeners find you at?
My Instagram's probably the best place for it. So it's at Femaven. So that's FEMAVEN.getaways. Everything's listed in there. Link in bio has information on the trips, my website, and all the fun things I have going on for next year as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. It was fun.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex, but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.